Hi, this is Don Fluckinger, executive editor of SearchCRM.com, and this is the latest episode of the Pipeline Podcast. I'm here today with Ulrich von Beck. He's vice president of strategic solutions consulting at PROS, a company that provides the algorithms that creates dynamic one-to-one pricing for its customers, plugs into Salesforce, plugs into Microsoft Dynamics. It plugs into many different CRM systems. And Ulrich will tell us more about it down the road here. But it helps create one-to-one pricing. So if you've ever bought a ticket on Southwest Airlines, chances are PROS algorithms had a hand in creating that price. Thanks for joining us today, Ulrich.
Well, thank you, Don. I'm excited to be here after meeting you at Microsoft Envision.
Yeah, and thanks a lot for signing up today to be interviewed on the Pipeline. So this is a very interesting thing. The thing that made me want to dig a little bit deeper and get you on the podcast was pricing algorithms. How did PROS start? I mean, you've been around since before the internet was a thing. Southwest was your first customer in the 80s, if I understand it right. So how did it evolve into something that plugs into CRM platforms?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. So, we were founded in 1985. That was way back before the internet was really a thing. But it was a thing for airlines, and airlines had this problem of pricing tickets. And in 85, when the airlines deregulated, there was an opportunity to actually start pricing those tickets in a more advanced way. And so that's where PROS got its roots. As you said, Southwest was the first airline to be on PROS. It was PROS' first customer and, in fact, still a customer today. So 33-year-old customer that we have, which is pretty awesome to be able to say that. So as we grew in travel, And actually right now we price over 2 billion airline tickets that are sold in the world today. Over half of the airline tickets are priced through our algorithms. But as that industry grew, we started seeing the opportunity to apply it to other areas of industry and business. And so in the late 90s, early 2000s, we started pivoting and applying it to all sorts of things. You know, starting from food, and you know, most of the fries that you actually would eat in the U.S. are priced somewhere along the line through a PROS algorithm. You know, rental cars, probably everyone here that's listening to the podcast has rented a car that's been priced through a PROS algorithm. We do a lot in auto parts, industrials, manufacturing, from paper products to windows. So you really have a gamut of industries where we can apply our algorithms to.
So when I buy a Southwest ticket, it's looking at where I'm calling from, what time I want to fly. It looks at a lot of things on my side, but it probably also looks at Southwest has a certain inventory of seats and they're having a hard time selling this particular flight. So, I mean, is it really truly one-to-one pricing based on a lot of factors? What kind of things do the algorithms sort of chew on to come up with a price?
So when it comes to B2C pricing, everybody actually gets the same price at that moment in time. So even legally, you're not allowed to discriminate between different customers at that moment in time. So that makes B2C pricing quite different from B2B. So when you buy an airline ticket, everybody that requested a ticket at that very moment in time gets the same price according to, like you said, how the loading of the flight is going, what demand was being seen, if there's an uptick in the demand. And there are a couple of dozen factors that go into that decision of the price at that moment in time. Now, when it comes to B2B, as many of the listeners will know, you can have two customers walk in the door from another company, and you can give them a different price for exactly the same product. And it really boils down to, on the B2B side, is a customer's willingness to pay. Perhaps for the Ritz-Carlton, some fries are really, really important for their steak, and they're selling it for $50 or $60 at a dinner plate, versus another place where their fries, they could swap them out with something else, and it's not really that important for their steak frites. And so you're assessing, the algorithms are really assessing a individual customer's willingness to pay for a certain item, and then pricing according to that.
And the customers that engage pros, I remember from your presentation at Envision, can expect, you know, on average, 2 or 3% revenue bump from employing these algorithms. Do I remember that right?
Yeah, you're about right. I mean, there've been a bunch of studies on the impact that that price optimization and price management software has. And typically, Gartner and Forrester will say it'll give you a 1% to 5% revenue bump. But the magic thing with pricing is nothing else in your whole company changes. There's no increase in cost of sales. Nothing else changes with pricing. So that revenue increase typically drops right to the bottom line. So you're looking at margin increases of, you know, about 2 to 10% as that money drops straight to the bottom.
How does that work with the CRM system? And it, I mean, this is more than just a widget you're picking up at the App Exchange at Salesforce.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of the things that you pick up, the widgets that you'll just install, analyze and report on the data that you have in Salesforce, for example, and they may give you different insights into that data. What's different with us is, even though we're displayed inside the CRM, we use data from all sorts of sources. The most obvious one would be the last 2 or 3 years of your transaction history, which would typically come from your ERP, like Oracle or SAP or some homegrown system in some cases. But we pull data in from various sources. Another one might be an index. A lot of pricing is done by commodity index, and we might bring in the platinum price or the titanium price on a daily basis and adjust prices according to that. And so that all happens in the background, so that when the sales rep goes into the CRM and wants to configure a quote, they actually pull up the pro system inside the CRM as they're speaking to that customer on the phone, and see the prices for the various products displayed there. Of course, some prices may be contractually bound, and they have the same price for the whole year, but others might not be on that contract, or it might be a spot quote, and that'll give you real-time prices according to the conditions at that time.
How large does a company have to be before it needs to employ something like a pros? I mean, it's kind of easy to set pricing if you're selling, you know, 100 crop duster airplanes a year to a very small customer cohort, right?
Yep.
What's the typical size of company that figures out that they need something like this?
You know, the way that we often look at it is, back in the day, you used to have a store, and maybe you were a cobbler, and you would repair people's shoes, and somebody would come in with their shoes, and you would look at them, and you would decide what you're going to charge them for that particular shoe, which is fine for one store. So now you grow it, and now you have 1,000 stores or 1,000 customers that are coming in, and you multiply that by, you know, tens of thousands of SKUs, even millions of SKUs. And then that analysis of that customer and what you're going to charge that customer that's on the phone or has walked through the door right now becomes near humanly impossible. And so we look at companies that have very high volume of transactions or rapid price changes. We look at companies that might even need real-time pricing, or that have worldwide presence, but do want to have some centralized control of their prices. And so typically, companies that are that large are at least over 100 million, but the real sweet spot is over half a billion in revenue is typically what we see, where there's enough data for us to actually crunch this solve.
Yeah, so you're talking very large companies, probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so CPQ, as we write a lot about it on Search Salesforce and Search CRM, is a, like I guess say it's a hot technology, but it's really being used more frequently as companies get their act together with the digital transformation, digitizing processes that were on paper, you know, doing that last mile in their CRM and completing their sales automation, you know, technology stack, right? Has that really provided a big bump for pros over the last few years?
Yes, it has. You know, pros provides two sides to that equation. One is what we call a foundational layer, and that's where your CPQ layer sits. That's also where your price management layer sits. And price management, you know, just think about 10,000 items across 10,000 customers. You're at 10 million individual prices that you could have, considering that every customer can have a separate price for every item. And so price management in itself becomes an important part of the equation. But we call those the foundational layers that have gone into industry. We provide those, but others also provide that foundational layer. Once you have that, typically your data is in a format that can then be crunched by algorithms and AI. And so we then layer on top of that things like the guidance that we provide for how to the price for each customer that might be on the phone, or something like opportunity detection, which detects opportunities at specific customers. Let's say you're selling them paint, and the algorithm will say, well, 90% of the customers that buy paint from you also buy the paint brushes, but this customer isn't. So we think that there's a $500,000 opportunity to sell them paint brushes. Why don't you suggest or dig into why they're not buying paintbrushes from you? So there's that foundation layer that we're very excited about that's out there right now and being put in, because that really provides the foundation for all the AI that can sit on top.
Well, and that leads to my next question. How is AI impacting what Pros does? I mean, on one hand, you know, algorithms, a black box, you feed something in and the answer comes out, but how is AI making it more relevant to the individual, you know, one-to-one pricing situation?
So one thing that I really like is what our chief AI scientist, Michael Wu, actually preaches about and talks about, which is trusting AI. And we're very much along that continuum of how do you trust AI? Well, if you can see why AI made a particular recommendation and it makes sense, that allows you to start trusting AI. So if we look at the algorithms recommending prices to someone, that like they do right now, you're able to drill in and say, you recommend that I sell this widget for $250. Well, let me jump right in here where I'm quoting to look at what prices did we charge the other customers that are similar to this customer that I'm talking to right now. And so you can see there, oh, okay, we charged somebody else $280. We charged someone $300. We charged somebody else $240. So $250 seems like a good price. So I'm going to go with that recommendation. But that transparency is what the Pro system provides. So people can start trusting AI. Because you do that a couple of times, and all of a sudden the sales rep might say, you know what? I don't have to double check these prices anymore. When I create a quote, I can just say, create a quote for these 100 items, and I trust those 100 prices that come onto the price list because I've seen where those numbers come from. And so that's where we see AI really coming in and first recommending, then being able to back up why AI made that recommendation, and then getting to the point that a sales rep might allow the system to automate that task rather than being involved in each time they do that.
How would you describe your customer mix as far as what CRMs are using? Are you mostly Salesforce, mostly Dynamics, 50-50? Do you have some other customers of other vendors, you know, the Oracles of the world or SAPs or even smaller vendors, or there are some, like oil and gas has their own vertical specific CRMs, which always confuses me. But anyway, what CRM systems are your customers using?
Yeah, it's certainly Salesforce is the dominant one. We do see Microsoft Dynamics certainly growing, and that's the second largest install base that we have. We then, you know, SAP is making some moves in the CRM space with C4C, not seeing that much in the US right now for us, but certainly in Europe, that's starting to pop up as well. Because we work with typically very large companies, we don't see that many of the smaller CRMs that are out there. They are, in fact, very good, but it's just been too difficult for those large companies to adopt those over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I hear you on that. So to wrap up, what do you see as the next big thing? Once everybody figures out how to use AI and sort of can get it under control so that it satisfies all their compliance needs as well as all their business bottom line needs, what's the next thing for CPQ, dynamic pricing, this sort of technology area where you're in?
To me and the organization, it's quite clear. We're seeing two things happening. We're seeing B2B and B2C sort of merging. You're now, think about buying a large quantity of paper. You could buy that through a B2B portal at one of your suppliers, but you can also perhaps go to their retail website and get a price there. And so all of a sudden, and you can even call your rep and get a price from them. And so you have all of these channels that a customer could use, whether they're for your own company or by competitors. And they can use these channels very, very quickly. They can get a price quote for something across a bunch of different companies within a minute or two. And with that, you really need to start managing your prices across all your channels in a logical way. And so when your customer comes along and they hit your retail website, they hit your B2B portal, they call your sales rep, all those prices need to make sense. And when those prices make sense for each channel, that's when you start getting the trust from your customers to say, you know, these guys know what they're doing. And that's not an easy thing to solve, is to keep all of those channel prices in sync as B2B and B2C converges. But that's what we're at the forefront of, and we're very excited about helping our customers work through all of that.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for your time today, Ulrich.
Well, thank you, Don, and I look forward to speaking to you in the future.